Rob Moore here, and welcome to Disruptors. I'm with a good friend of mine, Steve Sully. We've been friends now for probably 5 years. Probably when you started your podcast, I'll say that's how we got to know each other.
Correct.
Yeah, and property as well.
Yep.
And I'm actually at Woodbury House, which is Steve's, I have to just say it, fucking awesome new gallery.
Thank you.
Now, there's a bit of story behind this episode, which is why Steve's here with me. So you're about to hear a really fascinating, probably quite dark in some ways, but true to its art form conversation with a really good artist. And I thought, rather than me butchering the intro, as you are exhibiting him, why don't you tell us a bit about Blechler Rat and our connection and how this has come about?
So in short, Blech the Rat is known as the father, or sometimes people refer to him as the godfather of stencil graffiti. Many people, if they were to be a passive type of collector or have a small amount of interest in art, they would walk into an establishment like this and immediately assume the artwork on the wall is Banksy. Banksy is very commercialized, very, very successful individual, has some very thought-provoking messages throughout his artwork. But in actual fact, even before he picked up a paintbrush, there was Blech the Rat, who was paving the way for many other artists, and he started doing these stencil artworks. Blech the Rat is quite an unusual name. Number one, he got his inspiration from a comic book when he was younger called Blech. There was a comic book he used to read, and he got inspiration from that. But also Rat. Every major city around the world, you're within a few feet of a rat. In London right now, beneath us, probably in the walls, there's probably some kind of living rat. And if you really think about it, it's the only real wild animal that lives in urban areas that is just free to do what it wants. It's everywhere, you know, it's down the back streets, it's behind buildings, you know, you're even on the way to work today in London, I kid you not, I went to walk into Pret a Manger to get my shot of double espresso, and on the floor was a dead rat. I saw it as a bit of a sign. It was like, oh my God. When you play around with the word rat, what does it spell? Art. So Blech the Rat is a significant artist, not only to street art, but to his genre of stencil art. And I'm going to say it, he inspired Banksy. Absolutely. He definitely inspired Banksy and many others. I believe he is a significant artist that in 5, 10, 15, 100 years from now, people are going to look back and go, oh my God, this guy paved the way for many other people. So in short, we are Woodbury House. We are a private art gallery in Mayfair, 29 Sackville Street. We started our journey in 2014, promoting Richard Hambleton, the Godfather Street Art. And now we are bringing Blech the Rat back to the UK. This is the first show he's done in over 10 years. And the show is called The Return of the Rat.
And so why don't we call this episode The Return of the Rat? And so now you'll see me interview Blech the Rat. Blech, are you Banksy?
Good question. No, I'm not Banksy, but I really like Banksy. I really respect his work and his duty in street art that he has done, but I'm not Banksy. I never met him actually.
Ah.
Never met him. Some people told me that I've met him in the past, but I don't know if I met him. He didn't say I'm Banksy, so so I don't know who is Banksy actually. Yeah, I really like that guy. You know. He has a sense of humor, and at the same time, he mixes tragedy and new humor, and which is really great, like Shakespeare used to do when he was writing. And yes, he's a really great guy, very interesting guy.
So, if you were Banksy, would you tell me?
If
you were Banksy, would you tell me? Surely you would say no, even if
you were.
Banksy, yeah.
I have many things to ask to him. Many things. Mm. I would say what push you to make stencil? Why did you make stencil? Why did you choose this technique to work in the industry? What reason? For what reason you? And I would like to know. Also, I would like to know who is this guy? How old he is? What kind of life he has now? It's a mystery for me, really, for everybody, it's a mystery. So, it's a mystery. I really would love to meet him and to have a meeting with him and to talk with him. And I think we could have some relation together, really. I think though, like with Richard Hambleton, you know. Unfortunately, I never met Richard Hambleton, but it's the same thing. I think we had a very good relation. We could have a very good relation together. Banksy's mystery. Somebody told me that I knew. I worked with him. I worked with a guy, a British guy, in Dubai, and somebody told me he's Banksy, but I'm not sure. I don't know exactly who he is.
So I have found a quote from Banksy, and I don't know if you know this.
Yeah, I know it, of course.
You do?
Yeah, of
okay.
course. Yeah.
Can I read it
for
everyone
course,
listening?
Yeah, yeah.
So, every time I think I've painted something slightly original, I find out that Blek Le Rat has done it as well only 20 years earlier.
Yeah.
So bearing in mind what you've said, how does that make you feel?
It makes me feel that in French, we have an expression saying, no one is a prophet in his time and in his own country. Prophet means that if you bring something new, nobody believes you. And I don't know if you have the same kind of expression in English, but it means that, you know, I started in 1981 and I was too early, you know, compared to other graffiti artists and what I have done, it was too early. It was too early, 1981, nobody was ready to accept that kind of work, and so it took a long time to get accepted. I started to be accepted by the community of street artists and also the people, thanks to Banksy, because Banksy was so famous and he did this quote. So I started to be recognized at that time, 2005 to 2005. So it took a long time, you know, because I started 1981, and 2005. It's almost 20 years, you know, without to be known, recognized, and so it's very difficult. It's very hard to live like that. But it's life. It's life. It's life. Now I'm recognized, and I'm very happy about that. And it's a consecration for me to be here, you know, in London, where this city is the most important city in the world for art, in my humble opinion. It's the most important city. Because the British, you are really open to a new way of thinking in art, in music, in you are very open people.
Ah.
So, oh really, yes.
Yeah. I don't think that we know that about ourselves.
Oh yes, yeah. Absolutely. In music, not in art particularly, in music, in theater, literature, movies, cinema, your mind is very open.
Wow.
Compared to the rest of the world. And also when you are known in England, when you are known, recognized, in London, you are recognized all over the world. Oh. Yeah, absolutely. Because I love America also, but when you are known in England, the Americans are interested what happened in London. Ah. And after that, you are recognized in the United States, in Australia, and in the rest of Europe also. Mm. So London is a very, very important place for artists to be recognized and to be known. Mm. Very, very important.
Why do you think it took nearly 20 years for your work to be accepted?
Why? For what reason? Mm. Because when you bring something new, when you bring something that nobody has seen before or that have heard before, it's very long to people to accept it. It takes a long time because people are not open to other expression, and it's normal. It was the same thing for if you think about Van Gogh or that kind of artist. It took a long time to be he was not still living when he was recognized. Mm. So it's always the same repetition of things, you know. It takes a long, when you bring something new, when you bring a new expression, when you bring something that people don't have the use to see and to watch and to appreciate, it takes a long time, long time. Mm. It takes a life, an entire life, you know. Mm. It took me 40 years.
Wow.
So, it's like that. It's life. Mm. It's life.
So, I normally ask this later, but seeing as you've said that, knowing what you know now, go back 40 years, how would you do your art differently?
I don't know. I don't think I will. You know, I'm the result of what I have seen before. You know, for example, I didn't invent anything new. I don't think the pure creation doesn't exist. I really think the pure creation, when you create something so new, it doesn't exist. You know, we are only the result of what we have seen, what we have appreciated in the past, and we try to make it in our own way. I mean, I didn't invent the techniques of a stencil. Stencil always exists before me. You know, the first stencil was the end on the cavern. You know, when people blew colors in the end on the wall of cavern. So I didn't invent anything new. I just took from what I saw in my life. For example, I remember to have made a trip in Italy when I was a young kid with my parents. It was just after the war, and I remember to have seen the vestige of the propaganda from Mussolini, and they used stencil to make their propaganda. And I remember to have seen the portrait of Mussolini with the helmet, and I remember to ask to my father, what does it mean? Why people are doing this? And my father explained to me that it was a vestige of the World War II, and it was in Padua in Italy. And so I didn't invent anything. I'm just taking from the others and do my own things with my own strength and my own sensibility, you know. I think it's the same thing for everybody, for every artist. The pure creation doesn't exist. Only God made the pure creation, but we are not God. So we are the result of social things or of history, of art, and we have the result of all those things combined together, and we try to put our little creation to put our little creation in the history of art, you know, but it's only a small thing, you know, it's not very important. When you compare, you know, when you think about cars, for example, you know, the guy who invented the cars, an engine, is something very strong. But what I have done in the life is really small compared to the other people, you know. But I brought something. I brought my stone. I put my stone on the path of history of art. So small stone, but I've done it. Mm. So at 72 years old, I'm very happy about that. You know, I brought something new. I brought my experience. I brought my my experience, my life, to the history of art. I'm passionate by art, you know, really from all my family was artists. They were artists. My father was an architect. My grandfather was an architect. My aunt was an actress. And the other, they were painters. So I come from that kind of family. So I raised up in the art, they were talking about art, about when I was a kid, so.
You had no choice.
I had no choice, yeah. Mm.
What is art?
What is art? Mm. Oh, it's a pleasure, like music. Yeah, it's a real pleasure. And this pleasure, it's something that we don't understand very well, because art was only for rich people in the past. So now, through the street art, this pleasure of art is given access to everybody in the world, from young kids to old women, everybody. Because when you leave something in the street, when you paint something in the street, you know that the day after, a thousand and thousand people will see it. Mm. So it's a real pleasure. People must understand that to have a painting in his apartment or an image in his apartment, it's the same pleasure than to see a movie or to listen music, or to read a book. It's the same pleasure. And everybody must have an access to this, you know. Mm. Not only an elite of people. For me, art is like that, you know. It's something, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure, like music, like theater, like, it's a really a pleasure. I'm passionate by Asian art. I buy many pieces of Asian art, old Asian art from the 13th century, 18th century. And it's a real pleasure. I have a piece of Buddha, for example. I have a Buddha from the 8th century, done in China, made in China in the 8th century. And when I look at it, I feel comfortable. I feel it's a real, real good, deep pleasure. Mm. So I want to share to the people this pleasure, which is not really easy. Not really easy to have.
What makes great art?
Good question. You know, in every century, you have, I would say, 10, 15 people who have who have illumination, and we bring something new, and the other copy and are influenced. So it's very rare, you know. Great art is very rare. Like same thing like great music is very rare, you know. You only have maybe 50 really good musicians in Great Britain. You have the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, you have... but only fewer of people. It's because to create something really strong in art, it's very tiring. It's really, it doesn't happen every day, you know. It takes a long process to have a great art. When I'm looking street art on the internet, you know, when I see a thousand pieces, only few I appreciate. I appreciate only few of them, you know, maybe 10 on 1,000, because some people have illumination, you know. I call it illumination, like it's like when you have when you have it's very rare. For example, you had Shakespeare, I don't remember the artist, a writer of that type, but you had two, three creators at the time of Shakespeare's, and the other copy after, but only few people, you know, makes great art. In my opinion, humble opinion, Shepard, Richard Hambleton was one of the most important artists. Of course, Banksy, Shepard Fairey, Pure Evil, I like Pure Evil very much, Ben Hein, and that's it for England, you know. Slikachu, I really like Slikachu too, but that's it, you know. The other, they copy a lot. They copy Banksy, they copy. So Banksy is a great art, and the other copy, which is a problem. It's very difficult.
Why is it a problem?
Why they copy? Because they don't want to work. They don't want to work. You know, it needs a lot of work to create something new, to bring something, a new expression. It's very difficult. It's not easy, you know. When people think that it's easy to make a stencil and a painting, no, it's not easy. It's very difficult to think about how to the process. It's a long process. It's a hard work, you know. And I'm sure Banksy is a heavy worker. I'm sure about that. He works a lot. Same with Shepard Fairey, same thing with Hambleton. Those people, they were working a lot. They are working a lot to produce things. And that's it, you know. It needs to create something great. You need to work. Yeah. You need to work. 10 hours a day and to have the only goal, one goal is to work. I remember a French writer called Céline, and this writer, when he was writing a book of 300 pages, he was working on 18 180,000 pages before to have only 300 pages, mm. you know what mm. I mean? So he worked a lot, and he used to say, when you have something to do and to say to the people in art, in literature, in art, in music, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work.
If you love to travel like me and you understand the power in escaping the money for time exchange trap, but you just don't know how to do it, then building an Airbnb consultancy business could be exactly what you have been looking for. Right now in the UK, there is a completely untapped opportunity through helping struggling Airbnb hosts by turning around their underperforming properties and generating you huge commission payments in the process. We are going to teach you all of the tools and all of the techniques that we've learned over the last 5 years through building our very own multiple six-figure Airbnb business, arming you with everything that you need to swoop in and save the day. Minimal startup costs, zero risk, and almost unlimited potential. Sound good? Welcome to the Airbnb Consultant. Contact us through any of the channels included in the studio notes to get the conversation started.
Behind, don't think that it's easy to do. And after that, so it's a pleasure for the people, and people think that it's very easy. And it's like when you make a travel on the boat, and you are smoking cigarettes but you don't know that in the engine people are working, mm. and it's the same thing in art, you know. It's not important how long we have worked on the. It's not important for the people, mm. but it's important for us, you know, to work a lot and to. It's difficult to explain.
No, English. I think you've done
you think
it.
You got
I understand.
It, you got the,
yeah.
What I understand.
People want to copy because they don't want to do the work to be original.
Absolutely, mm. it's absolutely mm. absolutely what I.
So if you look at all your work, whether it's a series or the whole body, how much of it do you really like and how much of it do you not like?
I love all my work.
Do you?
All of my work, yeah, really. Ah. No, really. It's a part of me, you know. It's a part, when I'm working on a character, it's a really a part of myself, part of my life. Part of my so I can't. It's impossible for me to not agree with myself, you know, and so it's a part of me. I never said this character I didn't like it after 10 years. No, 10 years. I'm very surprised to see some picture that I made 40 years ago, and I said, oh, it's. I love it. It's great, and it's not old, you know. It's still myself, you know. It's mm. me deeply inside of me.
Yeah, that answer really surprised me, because I imagine a lot of people are quite self-critical. I think creative people can be quite self-critical, self-loathing. Sometimes the most creative people are the people who have the biggest internal. Fights and battles with themselves.
Yeah.
So I kind of thought you were going to say, well, I only love a few pieces. So that made me feel warm inside that you love all of your work.
You mean they reject some part of the creation?
Yeah.
Or they reject because they change their life and they have a different life before.
Yeah.
In the past. And
or they may be going through pain, or they may not like themselves in that moment. Like, imagine every great musician. I bet there's one or two albums they don't really like.
Yeah, but it's not normal. It's something not normal.
Yeah.
I don't understand that. Yeah.
Mm.
Maybe because they lie somewhere. It's not true. And mm. so they reject it because they know it was not true at the time they have done it. Maybe, mm. I don't know.
No, that,
what I'm doing is always true, you know. Mm. I never lie. I never lie.
Are you sure?
No, really. When I was a kid, I lied a little bit, but through my works, and I don't lie, you know, I don't lie. It's always the truth.
How do you lie through art?
Oh yes, you can lie a lot. You know?
How?
You can, it's very easy to be another person, you know, to be another person that you are not, you know. It's very easy to be not the person that you are. Very easy. And I don't like that. I feel when someone is not true, I feel it immediately, you know.
Ah, so you could look at a piece of art and see it.
It's different because it's difficult. It's very easy, and you can lie in art. You can lie, but it's not easy to see it at first glance, you know. You can see it when you see the global work of the guy, you know. I think that it's something very horrible that I'm going to say, but I think Picasso, he lied a lot, you know.
Wow.
Yeah. He took so many things from other people, you know.
Right.
He was so influenced from other people. For example, he didn't invent at all the cubism. You know,
yeah.
It doesn't come from him. No. It took from what the name of the artist?
Nah.
Yeah, you remember?
Yeah.
Okay, he took from shit. I don't remember. It's horrible.
Sorry.
But I think Picasso was a great liar. He was
wow.
a great. He was absolutely great. He painted like a god. His technique was absolutely beautiful. Everything, but deeply in his masterpiece work, I think he was a liar. He lied to the people. I think so.
Yeah.
I'm saying, but
it's okay.
But I think
it's your opinion.
I really think so.
Mm. So there's this saying: good artists borrow. Great artists steal.
Banksy.
do you think that was maybe something regarding Picasso and people becoming good artists, borrowing concepts from their inspirers?
I think they are liars. Ah. They lie. They lie. They lie to the people. They lie to the society. They lie to the world.
Mm.
And to get famous or to get right. to get money
yeah.
or to have money on the but it's a process yeah mm. yeah yeah but I'm not like that, you know. I
no.
don't lie
no.
I don't lie. I don't know how to lie. I lied sometimes in my life, of course, but I feel very, very wrong and very sad when I'm thinking of my lie in my life, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
What do you think makes art expensive?
The market, and because everything is has a value. So there is a market. Like we live in a society where the market is a god. King, and so that's the reason why I'm very, and the other, it's, you know, I'm cut in two things, you know, because when I make something in the street, it's a present that I make to the people for free, and I'm very happy for that. But on the other hand, I'm very happy to make money and to be rich now. I'm very happy, of course, yeah. Very happy, very happy. It's a consecration because money is, unfortunately, it's like that. we live in a society where the money is God, and I'm not enough strong to fight against that. So I accept it, accept that the money, the society is built on money. And so I accept it. And at 72 years old, I'm happy to be wealthy and to can live from my art. Yeah, I'm very happy about that. I'm very, for me, it's consecration. Perhaps in 100 years, when money doesn't exist anymore, when we will have a different way of life, it will be different. But now, art has a value, and so I'm happy to be here, and I know that my paintings are very expensive, but I continue to work in the street to make a present to the people for free, because I really think that art must be free also, which is a great thing on the internet, because music is free, you can have music for free, you can have you can read a book for free, you can have all information for free, which is a great thing. Art, music, theater, literature must be free for people, but also if you can afford, if you have enough money to buy art, to buy music, I do it, you know. I buy art, I buy music also, you know. But it's good when art is free also. It's very important. Yeah, important.
One of my favorite quotes from an artist, because I'm an entrepreneur and I run businesses, is this: being good in business is the most fascinating kind of art. Making money is art, and working is art, and good business is the best art.
Absolutely.
You know who that was?
I agree, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. It's not easy to make business.
No.
It's not easy at all. You know, I used to say that the most difficult things to do is take your wallet and pay. It's very difficult to do. It's not easy for me. When I buy something, this gesture is very difficult to pay. And so yeah, you're right. It's not easy to make a business. It's not easy something like money. You know, it deserves to the people. And so the many people don't understand that. You know, it doesn't understand that. They say that it's completely not normal to make money with art or with a business, and it's an injustice. But I don't agree with that, you know, because people must know that it's not easy, you know. It asks you to be really strong, and you make a lot of. You take a lot of danger, a lot of it's very
risk.
Risk. Mm. You take a lot of risk when you make a business, and this risk you can pay it. You can pay it really hard when it doesn't work. Mm. So people must know that the risk, you must pay the risk, and most of people don't want to take risk in their life. They are okay with their life. Okay, I understand that also, you know, because it's not easy. Life is not easy, you know. Life is not easy. So I understand that people don't want to take risk, and they want to live a normal life with vacation and work, and don't take risk. And I understand that very, very well, you know. But if you take risk, it's normal. It deserves to get money and to live with your risk, you know, and to live better, little better than the others. In my humble opinion, but I can be wrong.
As an artist, have you ever felt strong conflict between the art and the money? maybe there was some pressure to create because money was required or markets had demands of you. Maybe you didn't want to create for a long time, but there was pressures. Are you sometimes looking at pieces of art and thinking about the money when you make the art?
So, good question.
Sorry, it's a bit
good
long.
Good question, but that's very tricky.
Yeah.
yeah. So, the things I loved in this show that Steven and Joe didn't ask me to create small painting for selling. They told me, create what you want to create, and you are free to make huge painting, which is not easy to sell, you know. Mm. Small painting is very easy to sell because you can put it. So big painting, large painting is very difficult to sell. And they give me the freedom to create large painting, and I feel really comfortable in large painting. So yes, and I'm very happy about that. The conflict is when galleries ask you to create small things, sellable things, and so it's a big conflict when I'm working in this state of mind that I know that if I make this color, people will not appreciate it because it's not sellable. It's a big conflict. Yeah, it can be a big conflict. Can be a big conflict. Here, I had the freedom to work as a. They don't ask me anything, which is absolutely great. Mm. It's the first time that it happened to me. You know, it is what you said is absolutely true. That there is a relation between money and art, and the relation is a big conflict sometimes. Yeah, mm. Yeah, yeah. Mm. You're absolutely true.
Why do most artists fail?
It's very difficult to be an artist. It demands a lot of work, a lot of. For example, you know, for about 15 years, I didn't make any money with my art. You know, with my art. So Sybille, my wife, was working like, as a teacher. She brought the money, and so I continued to work. But because they don't believe in what they are doing, or what they are making, they just work or create to make money or to be recognized or be. But they don't believe in their own work. Mm. And I was talking about the long period I had without to make money, because in this time I still believe in me. I knew that I was on a good way, a good path to reach something stronger. Mm. I knew it. And I always, and Sybille believes in me. You fail when you don't believe in what you are doing, making. I think so. If you really believe in you, there is no problem. Mm. One day it happens. Mm. One day it happens. And it happens for me like that, you know. Mm. I knew it. I really knew it. In the 90s, when nothing happened, you know, no shows, no galleries, I continued to work in the streets and to believe in what I was doing, and it's very hard, it's very difficult, but that's the reason why people must believe strongly in what they are doing, making. But it's difficult also, it's very difficult to believe all the time in water. You must not doubt.
Doubt.
You must
Did you ever doubt? There must have been some days.
I doubt sometimes. Mm. Yeah.
I
have to admit it.
How do you keep going?
What?
How do you keep going when you doubt?
Because Sibyl was behind me and pushed me and said, "No, continue to work, continue your things, because you are on a good path, a good way."
So we but all.
Sometimes I adopt. Sometimes yeah. I remember to have in the 90s when Alex was young, you know, was a little kid, adopt. And I said, "Oh, I'm gonna change. I'm gonna sell cars because." I have dubbed maybe. I would say maybe 3 or 4 times deeply when I said, "Okay, it's finished." And Sibyl was behind me. So when you are an artist, the people you know, the people you meet, is very, very important. Very, very important. Very important. For example, I don't think Richard Humbleton had good people around him. Because it's people around the artist is very, very important. You can lose a lot of time and lost of energy because the people around you. That's the reason I'm very isolated. I don't see many people. I'm very isolated in the countryside. And I don't go to parties. I don't go to the lunch of shows, everything like that. Never, I don't go. And I'm very isolated. I don't want to be influenced by other people, because other people, some French writer used to, Jean-Paul Sartre used to say, the hell is the others. Be careful, the hell is the others, because the people influence you to the drugs, to the life not normal. When I was young, when I was 20, 30 years old, I was very influenced by others, bad influence usually, drugs, and rock and roll.
the big three. Does being isolated like that, is that good for your art? Is that good for creativity?
Yeah, absolutely, completely.
Yeah.
Completely. I need to be isolated. I need to be inside of me, like an autist. And I need that. Yeah, absolutely. I don't understand how people can create in the middle of a people. I don't know how they do it. You know, really. Some people can do it. Some people, they have the energy to create in the middle of 100 people around them every day. I have a friend, a very good friend. He's an artist in Paris, a graffiti artist, and he's surrounded by people every day coming, drinking, smoking, and talking about art, talking. And I don't think he makes good work because it's not possible. When you work, you have to be alone and to be deeply inside of you and give, you have to put your skin on the table, you say in French. You know? And it's not easy to put your skin on the table because you need to be alone. When you are influenced by others around you, surrounded by people, it's terrible, terrible. I can't do it. I can't make it. You know, for me, it's impossible. Mm. Impossible.
And how do you access your creativity, your full limitless creativity. Are you able to just switch it on, or is there a ritual you have, or is it a bit more, it comes when it comes?
It doesn't come when it comes, because it's more very difficult. Mm. When you create, you have to live with your creation. You have to be so near from your creation. You have to be a part of your creation. For example, for this show, I lived with my paintings for 6 months, every day, and even I used to take the paintings in my bedroom to see, to live with it, with them, you know, and to be very close from my painting. You need to be very close from your creation. And so it doesn't come like that, like a God give you the strength of. It's hard. It's a hard life. It's not easy. I had a very difficult life. My life was really difficult. Very difficult.
Very difficult. What was difficult about it?
About the creation?
About your life?
About my life, because I gave. So the first part of my life from 0 to 31, I was completely crazy. When I'm thinking what I have done in my life, it's crazy. You can't imagine what I have done in my life. It's absolutely crazy. But since I was 31 years old until now, I gave all my strength, all my energy to this art, to this movement of street art. I really believe in street art, really believe. To me, we are living the most important movement of art of all the time. And so I put all my energy for 41 years old, 42 years old in this movement. And so the question was, I'm completely lost.
How do you tap into your creativity? Is it divine? Is it planned? That's where we started this conversation. But keep it going. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, yeah. I give all my life.
Then I jumped in because you said you had a very difficult life.
Yeah, difficult
and
life.
And I said, yeah. Why was it difficult? What about it was difficult?
It's difficult because you are alone. You are completely alone all the time. Even if my wife is very close from me and my son is very close from me, but I'm alone, you know. I was born alone and I will die alone. And
You are
alone all your life.
And you choose to be alone.
And I choose to be alone, absolutely. And it's a choice that I make at 31 years old. Mm. And before that, I was not alone. I was surrounded by people and crazy people and drugs, everything. And since then, you know, I'm completely, I focused on this subject of art, and so it's very difficult. You know, I didn't have a beautiful life because I didn't enjoy the life. I didn't enjoy to have a beautiful car and to go and to travel, and I didn't enjoy things like that in my life. You know, I had a poor life. You know, I had a poor life in my house. For 40 years, and I didn't enjoy the life at all. You know, I lost all my friends. For example, I lost all the close friends that I had in my youth. I lost them because I chose a different path, a different way of life, and so my life was not. I'm not happy, you know, I'm not a happy guy. I'm not sad neither, but I'm not happy. And I have to say, I was not really happy in this life. Mm-hmm. Not really happy, you know. It was difficult. It was difficult. It was a long strength to impose my work and my feelings to the other people. It was a long strength, and really I didn't enjoy the life. Since 40 years, I really enjoy to have a family, to have a son, really, absolutely. All my joy comes from Sibyl and my son, but that's it, you know, the rest of the life. So I'm happy to have money, but I don't enjoy my money because I keep my money in the bank. And I live like I used to live when I was 20 years old. I don't buy clothes. I don't buy beautiful cars. I don't spend my money. You know, I didn't change my life since I'm pretty rich now. I didn't change my life at all. You know.
Wow.
Nothing. Because I put all my energy in what I'm doing.
Mm. So do you think happy people make bad artists?
No, I don't think so. It depends on the people. No. I think some really good artists are happy to live, like who, I don't know, what I'm thinking of.
Yeah. No, all the great music.
I don't think Pure Evil is happy to live. Maybe I don't want to talk about, I don't want to for him, but I don't think he's happy to live. Ben Hein, I don't think he's happy to live. Banksy, I don't know, but I think it's the same thing, you know.
Maybe you have to go through pain to be a great artist. Most of the musicians I love, and it might just be my bias.
Yeah.
I love Radiohead. Do you know Radiohead?
Yeah, absolutely.
Thom Yorke, he's not happy.
He's not happy.
Very unhappy.
Really?
Well,
really?
Is it obvious? He's not outwardly happy. And I love Rage Against the Machine. And he was angry.
Okay.
And I wonder if really great artists, happiness is not good for art.
I don't know. I'm thinking about an artist who was happy to
live. You can't think of one.
No musician.
No.
They're all completely crazy. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, we may have found a formula.
Maybe a creation, when you create things, it's a normal thing to be sad and to be, because also you see how works the society. You know, artists are very sensible, you know, so they have a relation with the society. It's very, when you are an artist, it's very difficult to be accepted in the society, by the society, you know. Mm. So the only way to be accepted is through the art. But myself, my body, who I am, I don't feel to be accepted by the society, you know. I feel like I'm completely a thousand miles from the society. So maybe that's the reason why. It's a good question. I never think about that. I have to think about that. Why can we find an artist, a happy artist in the life? Is it possible to find a happy artist? Shakespeare was happy? No, he wasn't happy.
No.
Celine was very, he was not happy. Who can be?
I can't think of any. Can you have?
No, yeah. So very, you're right, it's very strange. So, it's terrible. And when you see happy artists, maybe they are not so good, you know, they are in bars, smoking, and drinking, talking about the life and the world. Artists like that, no, maybe they are not so good. I don't know, maybe. But when I'm thinking about all musicians I love Mac Miller, for example. And Mac Miller was not happy at all, you know. He was terrible.
Yeah.
The life you had. Yeah, it's terrible. Mm. Yeah, but you're right. I have to think about that. Who can we consider that this artist had a happy life and beautiful life? I don't know. No, I don't think so.
No. There you go.
So you must be a lawyer to be happy. You must be a doctor to have a happy life. Doctor, architect, lawyer, people like that, maybe they have a happy life because they live. They have money and they live comfortably. Maybe, but artists, no, I don't think so.
How do you stay relevant? How do you ensure you're accepted by whatever market you want to be accepted by? And you stay relevant in yourself so that you're continually fresh, maybe even for decades.
Is it a new decade?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe no, because I'm 72 and I took so much drugs in my life. I smoked so many cigarettes that I think 5 years, 6 years, and
really?
I'm not sure to be here.
Oh, well,
I'm in the good wealth now, but. My father died at 59. My mother died at 80. In my family, they don't live very old. So I think I only have maybe 10 years to live again. So I don't have any project, a long view project, you know. No, I'm working. I want to live my... I want to leave something to the people, and when I will be dead, I hope my work still live inside in museum or in apartments of collectors. But I don't have any. You're still young, so you have your life. You have your life on the front of you. I don't have my life on the front of me. My life is behind me now. So the question was...
Well, the way I meant it, that was a great answer, but the way I meant it was, how do you stay relevant for a long time?
What does it mean?
Yeah, so...
Relevant?
How do you stay a good artist for a long time?
Ah.
Yeah. How do you stay great at your craft? Because anyone can be good for a year.
Yeah,
but not everyone can be good for 20 years.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like art is like I don't know if you use that word ejaculation. You know, it's like an ejaculation. You ejaculate after the ejaculation, you have to take food and to be creative again. In the future I will stop, but I don't think so. I think I will work until the end of my life, which is closed, unfortunately. It's terrible.
How much does it matter to you what other people think of your art?
How much?
How much do you care what others think about your art?
I don't care.
You don't care?
No, I don't care. I don't care.
Really?
No, really. Critics, everything. But I used to care when I was young, you know. But when you get older, you don't care. You don't care. There is so I don't care. Sometimes I receive insult on email.
Yeah.
Really, I don't care. Critics, no. I don't care.
Do you reply to insults or just delete?
No, I don't reply. Delete. Anymore. I used to reply. I used to be when I was young. I was fighting. I fight a lot with a lot of people when I was young. Terrible. I was very nervous and very. But now, when you get older, you don't care about that. You know, you don't care about your reaction of other people.
I'm going to ask you one more question, if you don't mind. What one thing are you happy and optimistic about?
What again?
Something that you are happy and optimistic about. Excited about.
No, I'm not really optimistic. I think we are going in a third world war. I'm not optimistic at all for the future of the world and the society. No. I think, I'm talking with my son very often. We are talking about that, and I'm afraid my son will have a life, difficult life also. You know, very difficult. It's going to be when you see how the society is the evolution of the society, how it works. I'm afraid it's not going to be beautiful in the future, you know. It's going to be violence, drugs, violence, lie. I don't think I'm really thinking like the punk movement, you know. No future. We don't have any. The future will be very bad, you know.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, when you see, when you watch TV, when you watch the information, when you, it's not optimistic, you know, at all. You know, it's very.
Does this come through your work? Do you think?
Oh, probably. Yeah, probably there is something. Probably.
By the way, I'm loving this. Yeah. I'm enjoying, so I'm optimistic about this discussion.
You are optimistic?
Because I think...
For the future of the people, the future of mankind.
I'm optimistic that I've just bought one of your pieces.
Yeah.
And I'm optimistic I've enjoyed talking to you.
Deeply inside of you, are you optimistic about the future of the society, the future of the life for the young people?
I am scared.
You're scared?
But I think there will also be opportunity. Because surely as humankind, we can overcome challenges. I mean, it's not 1920. I know you say you think a third world war's coming, but we've had 100 years of no wars. And if you look through cycles over time, the empires build and empires are destroyed. So maybe we're in part of a cycle because humans don't learn their lessons from before.
You're right, absolutely. The only thing that we can... Okay, the only thing optimistic I can say that the human life is stronger than everything. Mm. So, I believe in the human life deeply. Mm. But, of course... But it's going to take maybe 100 years to get another life for the people, another way of living. It's going to take a long time, long time. I will be dead at that time. But it's good, yeah. You're right, absolutely right. I'm believing in the human, in the oh, it's difficult to explain in English. The la perpétra, the humankind. I believe in the humankind. Yeah, in the life. Mm. I believe in this. but the close future.
To evolve, to struggle and survive and overcome and be resourceful.
Absolutely. I really believe in this. Mm. I'm sure it's not the end of the world. I'm sure. I'm sure about that.
Yeah. But
The next 50 years is not going to be very beautiful. And
One thing just came into my head with talking about the world and where it's going. Do you have any thoughts on art, especially with the digital side? So NFTs and people are just doing art as images on a screen, not
I don't understand what exactly. I was contacted by people who want to make me NFTs, but I don't understand how it works. Mm. You think it's a good thing or I don't know?
Well, you're the artist.
Yeah.
I think some digital artists have got good exposure, a way to express their own kind of art, and have done very well financially.
Yeah.
The critics would say, well, it's not proper art, it's just a trend and a fad.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah.
You think art needs to be to touch, do you?
Yeah.
Even though we're all on the internet.
Yeah, I think I don't understand very well the process of this thing, but yes, I really think that the art must be something material that you can put, that you can touch, and that you live with it. You know, so I don't know how it works exactly. So you have the image, you are the owner of the image on the internet. Mm. That's it. Mm. But you can have it. You cannot have it in real, in your apartment.
No. Well, so, you could. You could have a print of it.
Oh, yeah. But yeah. It's not
something like this.
No. Yeah.
Yeah, because the art is the image, the token.
So it's a different. Maybe it's something new and something. I don't know. I really don't know. Because I don't know, I don't understand exactly the process, how it works, and so maybe yes, maybe it's the future of art. Maybe it's possible, something possible. But I really think that when you own an object, it's. The object is so important, so beautiful, so important. Yeah? The guy who made it is not important, you know. This object, for example, is a piece of art, you know, because you don't know who made the woman who made it in China. You don't know her, and you don't care who made. But this piece is this piece is the most important, and you don't care who made it before. Mm. So maybe the concept of new art through internet, I don't know. Maybe this concept is interesting. Yes, I have to think about it. Mm. I have to think about it. But I'm old school, so I prefer to have this thing in my pocket than. I love object. I love object, really. Mm. I love object. I love this camera, for example. I don't care who made it. I don't care who invented the camera, but I love this object is absolutely great. But that's the thing. So I think in art is the same thing, you know, in the 100 years in the future, some people will own this painting, and they will not care about me. The only thing important that it was created in 2023 for a London show, and it's an image which reflect the our society, which reflects the people dancing in the street in Los Angeles or in San Francisco or in London. It reflects all those things, but who the guy who made it, they will not care about that, you know. So I love, that's the reason I like object, you know. When I buy a Buddha made by a guy in the 8th century in China, I don't care about the guy, you know. I like the object that he made, you know. It's a, the object is the strongest thing that that I like.
So if you could choose whether your name and the notoriety of your work lived the longest, or your work anonymously lived the longest, which would you choose?
Anonymously?
Sorry.
Anonymously.
Does that not scare you?
To be anonymous?
Yeah.
Like Banksy?
Yeah.
Like Banksy?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah. Because it's so.
Because without your name, your work.
I have a lot of contradiction in my life. Okay, I have a lot of contradiction. When I say that, when people come to me and I don't believe them when they say me, but at the same time, I feel, it's great to be recognized, it's great to be loved, but I don't believe them. It's always my life always been in contradiction. I live the contradiction in my skin, you know. It's like that. I'm like that, you know. Because at the same time, really, at the same time, when a guy comes to me and tell me, "Oh, Blake, I love you," I don't believe him. But at the same time, I'm very happy because I'm recognized and from someone that I don't know. It's very strange. Yeah, it's life. It's something. It's not easy. Mm. It's not easy. It's not easy things, you know. Life is not easy. Mm. So contradiction. I live in my contradiction. Mm.
Perfect sentence to end. Okay. I live in my contradiction. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.